Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we are starting our ABCs of movies with A. And I believe Emily chose this one because she hadn't seen it before. And that was A Clockwork Orange.
Yes. I'd heard of this movie, like, ever since a study of film. Never read the summary. So I've had no clue what this movie is even about since the beginning.
Wow, great.
And I just decided not to read the summary even when the movie started. I was like, you know what? I've gone this long. Why not just keep going?
Well, that's awesome. I've seen this movie before. I had to watch it in college. But we also had to watch a lot of other Stanley Kubrick movies. Like, we love The Shining, or I do anyway. We had to watch Barry Lyndon. I don't know if you remember that.
Did we have to, or did we decide to?
I think it was like we had to watch another Kubrick movie or something, because we watched the Dr. Strangelove.
We did.
In Miss M's class. And so, yeah. So the Dr. Strangelove, then we had to watch another Stanley Kubrick, and for some reason we didn't choose A Clockwork Orange, we chose Barry Lyndon.
I know, which I don't even remember, because I remember it being so boring.
But
I would like to give it another shot one day.
Yes. All I really remember it was the fact that it had natural lighting. Like, he made it look like it was lit only by candles, which is not real, but he made it look like it was.
Barry Lyndon or A Clockwork Orange?
Barry Lyndon.
Okay.
Yeah, and then also, like, the costumes and the way people talk to each other, and then, like, also the guy that played Bones' dad was in it, and we, like, happened to be watching Bones at the time, so it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. I remember that.
Oh, man, I remember that.
I also had to watch 2001 A Space Odyssey in college, so that could be another movie we watch in the future.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting if we, like, cover Kubrick as, like, one of our bio podcasts.
Totally.
We haven't done a single one of those since the Keira Knightley one.
Well, I keep saying we need to do, what's her name, Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
Because she's,
yeah,
like,
definitely,
so
yeah.
Badass, but she's literally been in, like, 100 things or more, so it's, like, so hard to watch all the stuff that she's been in.
Oh, wait, we watched Full Metal Jacket in Study of Film as well, right?
I don't remember that.
I thought we did. Was...
Are you thinking of Apocalypse Now?
No, no. Because didn't Full Metal Jacket have, Jared Leto in it for, like, a second?
No, that was Thin Red Line. That was Terrence Malick.
Oh, I'm thinking of that one. Okay.
Oh, no.
Why do I feel like I've seen this movie? I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway.
Well, there's an anime of, like, the same name. Have you seen the anime?
That's Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, right.
No, I have not. But yeah, I think Kubrick could be a fun bio to cover, because I would like to see some of his movies again, and I really want to see the one with Nicole Kidman in it.
What?
I want to see the one with Nicole Kidman in it. I want to see that one. What's it called?
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, I want to watch that one.
See, yeah, I gotta watch that too. See, like, okay, so I know about these movies.
Yeah, I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, that one.
Because Nicole Kidman.
Right. This is an overlap situation. Okay, so I just want to say, like, up front, since this movie is a classic film, it was made in 1971. It's old. It's not, like, it's going to be easy for us to look at this kind of, like, in a film history situation or, like, even analyze it in the way that a lot of people do. I just feel like, give us some slack for not knowing everything about this movie because it's old, but, you know, it's, I don't know. We're seeing it through 2019 eyes, so I think that's how we're going to have to take about this.
Yeah, which, I mean, I like my fair share of weird movies, and this was definitely on the weirder side, but a lot of it confused me. It was very surreal and very weird. This guy, this main guy, he creeped me out a lot.
Well, yeah.
He's just...
Alex, yes.
Yeah, Alex. But all in all, I really did like how... I kind of liked how... where it went. And because, again, I did not expect any of this to happen. I thought... I don't even know what I thought this movie was going to be about. definitely not this. I didn't think it was going to be about this.
Really?
Yeah. But I definitely was getting the sense that it was going to be kind of, like, weird and surreal and, you know, very possibly ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But, like, but do we know what A Clockwork Orange means?
Yes.
That's definitely my first question, is what does that mean?
It means that, basically, it's as if it looks like an orange on the outside, but on the inside it's just clockwork. Like, basically, it can't choose for itself what it wants to do. In a sense, that's what Alex becomes when they, brainwash him into not
being bad anymore.
Being bad,
not,
yeah.
Not being evil.
He doesn't have a choice in the matter. It's not his choice to be good or bad. It's the reason that he's not being bad is because he feels sick. So he gets negative in, like, feelings when he thinks about being bad.
Because he was brainwashed to be that way. But then on the inside, he is... So he's still technically evil on the inside, but he just...
Well,
he's just unable to be on the outside. Like, on the outside, he appears to be what everyone wants him to be.
Let me read this quote where I got this idea. It's on in the Wikipedia article. let's see. Where is this? It's basically like. Since he's, like, evil, I can't find it. Oh, I found it. Okay. After aversion therapy, Alex behaves like a good member of society, though not through choice. His goodness is involuntary. He has become the titular clockwork orange, organic on the outside, mechanical on the inside.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, there's a lot of morality questions with this, obviously, and, that is, like, in a lot of ways, like, kind of explored in the movie with the fact that there's, like, all these headlines, like, the government is totalitarian, starting to, like, turn people into robots kind of thing, and where that's going.
Yeah, like, doing inhumane experiments on people and, inadvertently, like, hurting humanity or something. Like, that's kind of what I was getting from the... From the newspapers.
Yeah, so I would say this movie was... I think it was apparently very shocking at the time and is still very shocking today. I mean, there's a lot of violence in this movie.
Oh, yeah. And before even knowing that it was set in the future, I mean, pretty much that weird milk cafe that they're in the very beginning, if that doesn't tell you that this is a different time... I don't know what does.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, totally.
But yeah, a lot of the time I was kind of just trying to figure out, like, why, I liked all the names for things. Like, I really liked how Alex would pronounce things like, you know, you're my drogues or something, or my droogans or something. What did he call them? Like his
droogs.
Gang?
Yeah, his droogs.
His droogs and how they would call each other brother. That felt almost kind of like a, what is it? Like a 1984 type of thing, or like a,
yeah,
you know, very, I mean, maybe dystopian future.
Mm-hmm.
Where he like calls everyone brother. And like his accent was very interesting to listen to. I really liked,
yeah,
watching him like react to things and watching him. But his face was scary.
Yeah, he's a frightening dude. Like, he really pulled it together. Malcolm McDowell, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I mean, a lot of the characters were very, like, vibrant. I was trying to understand, like, why they would... I guess their quote-unquote job that they had, like, because he was young enough to be in school. He was supposed to be, what, 17, they said, or something?
I think so. Something like that. I mean, he's really young.
I was reading the trivia, and I think he was supposed to be portrayed as 17, but in reality, the guy was, like, 27 or something.
Yeah.
Like, he was the actor. So he was, like, supposed to be in school, but he would kind of, like, just sleep around all day and, you know, just do whatever and mess with people. And then at night, they would go and, like, break into people's houses and...
Mm-hmm. And rape and pillage, basically.
Yeah. So I guess that just had me kind of questioning more about what society was like. Because we really saw a very narrow-minded,
yeah,
like, just segment of what this world was.
Yeah, and it's narrated by Alex, so everything's from his perspective.
Yeah, so it's basically just, and really for him, he doesn't do much. Like, he's very routine, he has his set schedule that he does every day. We know that there are other gangs or, you know, droog clans around that do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. And they like, don't interact, and when they do, they fight.
Yeah, kind of like, almost like, what is it, those... the outsiders type of thing.
Where, yeah, like, the gangs. Yeah, they're gangs, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're obviously, like, they just love to be evil. Like, that's their thing. They like to rape and treat people like trash.
And steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hurt people and,
yeah,
just do whatever because they can. So that was a very interesting way to start the movie. And then I did kind of like the, again, I liked where it went, like how he, his friends, so did his friends really, like, form a mutiny, or did they just kind of, like, want to do something, like, they just didn't like how they were being treated by Alex?
I think that they mutinied. I mean, they did hit him over the head, and ran away, so I think that they all decided that they didn't want him to be their leader anymore. And then he got arrested at that woman's house. And he, like, murdered the lady, too.
Yeah, by smacking
dropping that
her
penis.
That penis sculpture on,
yeah,
her.
Yeah. I mean, that was... Yeah. Like, there's so much weird stuff. It made it seem like it was futuristic in a lot of the ways. Like, a lot of the costumes, obviously, and the slang that he uses, and... just like a dystopian kind of feeling that is a lot of the set design, like a lot of these houses are really interesting looking and super like ultra modern, but still like very 60s. And same thing with the outfits and stuff. But yeah, I think it just like helped you put yourself in that other space from the beginning. It was hard to see what the rest of society was like, but I think we eventually got a little bit of it, but it is really intense.
Yeah, because, I mean, outside of whatever the gang was doing, you kind of just saw his parents briefly, and they just seemed kind of like pushovers.
Yeah.
And then that doctor that would go and see them, I guess, their, like, friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, that guy who just ended up at his house when he was there one morning and he woke up and... Like, that, I guess he was a doctor. I'm not entirely sure who that guy was.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then we just saw the we saw like a few outside places, like the cafe, and then that bazaar almost is like a bunch of little shops, like a record store, and then like a cassette. I loved his tiny little cassette tape.
I know that he would play
his tiny little tape. It was so cute,
and he would play the old
Beethoven.
Yeah, Van, or whatever he used to call him.
Oh, yeah,
Ludwig Van. That's what Ludwig Van. That was what he would call him, yeah. And, yeah, the tiny little cassette, and just all that, like, weird, like, Christ imagery that would flash on the screen, and it's all very precise, and I think Kubrick, going from, like, the book, as is obviously his muse, I've heard it's a very kind of incoherent book. It's like really difficult to get through, mostly because of this like other, this NASDAT, which is like a slang. That's like a made up slang. Basically it says on Wikipedia that it's a fractured adolescent slang composed of Slavic, especially Russian, English, and Cockney rhyming slang.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds like it'd be difficult to get through.
Yeah, so wow. I watched this little, like, 2-minute interview with with Malcolm McDowell, and he said that it took Kubrick, like, months and months and months, like, in years to try and find who he wanted to play Alex, and eventually he chose Malcolm McDowell, because he was in this movie called If, I think, or something. And he invited Malcolm McDowell over to his house, and he was like, okay, I want you to read this book. And Malcolm McDowell was like, okay. And then he took it home and he read it 3 times, and he was like, first time I was like, what the fuck is this? The second time I was like, okay, this is actually, like, really good. And the third time I was like, oh, all right, I can see what he's doing with this. I want to be part of this project. And he said he called him a week later and said he would be in his movie.
3 times he read the book?
Yeah, I don't think it's that long, but
yeah, it sounds like it if he could read it 3 times within, you said a week? 2 weeks?
A week. And he said that he couldn't believe that he didn't call him back sooner. Like, this is Stanley Kubrick we're talking about. Like, you don't just, like, leave him hanging for a week, dude.
Well, yeah, because, like, what number, because it doesn't seem like Kubrick's made that many films, and you know he ain't making any more.
Yeah, I think his major one was his very first one, and major one was Dr. Strangelove. So it's got a lot of, like, and Barry Lyndon, I think, or something. Maybe that hadn't come out by this time, but yeah. So I mean, he's obviously got a good reputation from the start. Like, everybody knows that he's a real serious filmmaker and a perfectionist, and
that makes sense. Like, he made 2 movies within like 10 years, so like, yeah, by A Clockwork Orange, it seems like he probably should have just said yes to whatever. Even though it sounded like this guy, I was reading some of the trivia, because this movie seemed so like so vintage, to where things were just done just as they were.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, the, like, an actual doctor had to be next to Malcolm.
Yeah.
To like water his eyes. Yeah. To get the eye drops in to make sure that his eyes weren't drying out as they were shooting this actual scene, because he actually had those, like, prongs in his eyeball.
Of course he did. Yeah, of course.
No! No!
You know, they had to do that. They had to give me those when I got my eye surgery, when I got my LASIK.
That makes sense. But yeah. For a movie? Oh, no.
I felt the feeling of not being able to close your eyes, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh my gosh, you felt it. Elsa. Well, you were tortured.
I wouldn't put it that way. but yeah, so definitely, yeah, that scene, the brainwashing stuff, was, I thought it was going to be longer, but it actually was shorter than I anticipated.
Your surgery or the movie?
The movie.
Okay. Yeah, I looked at it like, oh man, this is going to be 2 hours and 16 minutes long. Damn.
But it then, honestly went by really fast.
Yeah, it went by so fast. And I was actually very intrigued because, again, it was very intriguing watching Alex just do stuff on the screen because he was very, like, meticulous. And just the way that he would make faces at people, mm-hmm. I would like, look at him and be like, okay, stop. But then I'd be like, okay, but what are you going to do next? Like, you're a psycho. I kind of want to see where this goes. And, like, and even when he was, like, thrown in jail, he was still very, like, meticulous. Like, you know, how can I get out of here in, like, a timely manner? And that's when he'd, like, kind of joined the church and, you know, was trying to, like, I mean, couldn't really tell if he was just trying to appear good to maybe get out early because of good behavior.
He definitely was doing that.
Most definitely was doing that. And then, you know, he hears wind of this treatment that's going around that gets people out of jail quicker. And, you know, he's quick to sign up before even knowing. I thought it was hilarious when he, like, I loved all the comedic aspects of this movie where, like, when he would come up to a desk and he had to be behind the white line had to, like, reach over. And then, like, you know, he throws stuff onto the desk and they're like, put it down properly! Yeah. And then he has to, like, pick it back up and place it. And then, you know, when he's given all the forms to sign to, you know, basically sign away that he's okay with being experimented on, he's, like, trying to read it. And the guy's like, don't read it, just sign! Yeah. And it's just like, and he's, like, being yelled at. Yeah. It was so funny. Yeah. It was really hilarious.
Well, I thought the end of the movie was particularly funny because he's like, especially when he's like taking pictures with the guy and he's like,
when he was
putting his thumbs up, he's like, yeah, yeah. And it's so clear that he, from his like little psych test, that he is cured in the fact that he's not going to get sick when he wants to be violent anymore. And the very last line of the movie is, I was cured, all right. And you're like,
it's like having, he's like having a fantasy. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And it's just like, it's kind of like, it's almost giddy. Like, the feeling of like, oh, holy shit, this evil man is now going to be released onto the world. And he can do no wrong because the government basically fucked him up. Or they say they did. So, like, now he's going to be in their debt forever. Like, they're in his debt forever, and he can do whatever the fuck he wants now. Like, it's horrible. Like, everything about it is so horrible, but, you know, you're watching a movie, so you're like, all right, this is kind of hilarious in the same time.
Yeah, I'm like, it's always interesting kind of, like, reading these, like, older novels or watching these, like, older films and kind of, like, seeing where the inspiration kind of came from.
Yes!
When was the book written? Because when was the book originally written?
Let me see. It says it's 1962. So, like, 10 years before.
The book? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and what? When was 1984 written? And
that was in the early stuff like that. Earliest 20th century. Brave New World is more like in the mid. Let's see. Brave New World was 1932, and then 1984 is that's not what I want. Not the year, but the book.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Not the Boise State election. Not that. Nope.
Oh no, we don't want that.
Okay, here we go. That was from 1949.
Yeah, so it's just it's always a really interesting topic, like kind of just seeing how messed up people can see, like what the world could become, or you know, what they believe the future will hold, or, you know, just, like, an alternate universe of...
Yeah.
Of, like, just fucked uppery that can be happening in an alternate universe. And I really liked this idea of, you know, pretty much brainwashing in order to reform, you know, just trying to fix people, like, permanently when it's not really a permanent fix or, like, a quick fix.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like changing someone who's like internally and just to their core evil. Like, you can't just brainwash them and expect them to be done.
Exactly, like, exactly. Alex is completely like, it is like a question of, is it reversible? Is he really like extremely evil? Like, he kind of is a sociopath. Like, he's a psychopath. Like, honestly, he's a sociopath for sure. Like, he completely just doesn't understand that other people have feelings too, and he just like doesn't give a shit, you know? Like,
yeah, and he seemed to kind of understand how other people probably feel once he got reformed and was released, because, you know, he kind of knew the predicament he was in, and he knew he really couldn't do anything to, you know, hurt anyone. So it seemed like right when he got out of jail that he was maybe trying to turn it around a little bit, but then he just got this like horrible backlash of, you know, people who remembered who he was and what he did,
mm-hmm.
and like messed him up royally.
Yeah, it's just interesting. You know what I was noticing? A lot of the people who take after this movie and other Kubrick films, this one in particular, I was noticing just other filmmakers that we really like and seeing them take inspiration from Kubrick and watching them make films after this film and kind of inspiring. Like, I got a lot of senses of, like, even Baz Luhrmann in this. Like, I really, like, saw a lot of his work, kind of, the way that he films and the way that the people talk to each other and the kind of, like, satirical, over the top kind of stuff that he does is like clearly influenced by Kubrick.
Yeah, definitely. There's lots of little stuff that you can just pick apart that, because yeah, I was trying to think of another, maybe not a whole movie that seemed like this. I mean, but definitely bits and pieces, like you said, because there were a lot of very stylized, like, this, like, sped up parts and...
Yeah.
Some, like,
Like, Danny Boyle kind of reminds me, like, sometimes his stuff kind of reminds me of this movie. In a way, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, all the filmmakers that came after Kubrick definitely, you know what they're, like, where they're taking their influence from.
I'd like to see what other, like, well-known movies were released in the 70s so that I can kind of, like, compare if, because I don't know, I mean, I'm trying to think if I've seen movies from the 70s, like, because it'd be really interesting to compare kind of if this was just shot very differently, or if there's just, like, some comparisons of how movies were shot in the early 70s, late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that could be interesting, because yeah, it was very interesting watching this type of editing and filming. It just seemed very like natural, like you said, and not like some fancy things here and there, like, again, like the speeding up of this one scene, which actually in the original cut, I was reading the trivia, the sped up like
sex scene
that he has with those two girls,
mm-hmm.
was actually supposed to be full length, and it was 28 minutes long.
Oh my god.
But they sped it up. Apparently the original version of this movie was 4 hours long.
I believe it, dude.
I completely believe it.
That is so funny.
Because I also feel like movies back in this time, like probably predating the 70s, like movies were still kind of just doing whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah,
like, there was really no set. Like, you know, people complain if movies are too long these days, or if too much of this is in there, or if too much of that.
You're right. Yeah.
This felt very like just do whatever the fuck you want. Like, I mean, and it did it.
Yeah. Well, it is important to remember that, like, when they were doing this kind of stuff, it was the first time anybody had done that stuff. So, like, we've got Star Wars in the 70s. We've got The Godfather, mm-hmm. in the 70s, you know, those are big, mm-hmm. big movies. Jaws, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's also like looking at, like, there's so much film in the 70s that transformed film today. I mean, it is it would be nothing without the 70s. And a lot of my, like, I mean, I'm not, like, an expert on this, but I watched quite a bit of really, really random stuff when I was in film school. So a lot of it was, like, just some strange stuff that comes from the 70s. Really long and just, you know, things that are really artsy, that don't have to make sense, that, you know, don't have to appeal to everyone. And in this sense, like, that's what this movie is like. Like, it doesn't need to appeal to everyone. It's a shocking movie. It's violent. It's satirical. It's like an art piece in itself, you know, and it's like, what kind of audience was he going for? He's going for the people who want to go to the movies and experience it in the movies, you know? So,
well, yeah. And not to mention that for a very, controversial film being released during this time, I was reading another trivia piece where a lot of, like, Blockbusters or something, or, you know, movie stores, like, could not carry it and would not carry it. And people would constantly come in asking for it.
Yeah.
And especially in the UK, I think it was in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't released yet. And people kept going to movie stores and asking for it, and they had to put signs up saying, like, we do not have A Clockwork Orange. Like, do not.
Don't ask. It was nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Uh-huh. Cool.
And it was critically acclaimed when it came out, apparently. It says it grossed more than $26 million on a conservative budget of $2.2
million. Wow, okay.
And it says it was the most popular film of 1972 in France.
Yeah, and I thought this was really funny. There's another trivia where it says, when Malcolm McDowell met Gene Kelly at a party several years later, after the movie was released, the older star turned and walked away in disgust, and apparently Gene was deeply upset about the way his signature his signature dance of Singing in the Rain had been portrayed in A Clockwork Orange, which I thought that scene was, like, really well done and quite hilarious, yeah, really. It sucked that these people were getting tortured, really, but, yeah. I mean, his voice was, like, very beautiful, like, singing the song, and I thought, like, it was a very well put together scene where it was actually like a, it was just like a fluke almost. Like, I think Alex or Malcolm McDowell, like, he just chose to sing that song because he knew it. And they were, like, trying to dress the scene up a bit. Like, they're just like, Stanley didn't know what to do with this scene. And so Malcolm just kind of did something with it. And
Yeah,
I thought it was a good scene.
Yeah, you know, and then he starts singing it again in the bathtub, and then the guy knows it was him.
I know, I was like, why are you singing that?
I know,
oh my gosh, I was like, he's gonna know it was you, and it was so interesting, like, watching, because again, I know we've talked about this before with our classic movies series, with, like, talking about even older movies, but, like, I love seeing how people have different, like, acting, what is it, like different ways they act within the decades, like this, like, this acting felt very, like, blocky and weird, but again, that could have just been, like, a futuristic, like, oh, people in the future talk weird, or, you know, weird, or, you know, do weird stuff, because again, it's the future, it's a different universe, it's a different reality, you could really do whatever you want and call it good, like, so I thought it was really funny watching all the actors in this movie, because they're just all so ridiculous and over the top. They were almost like anime characters. They were just so, like, crazy and, like, in your face.
Well, that's how Dr. Strangelove is, too.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm just reading these responses to this movie. It says that A Clockwork Orange was rated X in the United States. And Kubrick voluntarily replaced approximately 30 seconds of sexually explicit footage from two scenes with less explicit action for an R rating release.
Oh my gosh.
It says, also, because of the explicit sex and violence, the National Catholic Office for Motion Pictures rated it condemned and forbade Roman Catholics from seeing the film, obviously. Oh, it also, in Britain, it says that there was sexual violence after the film came out by young males like this man who was like 14. He like killed his classmate, and he cited A Clockwork Orange as one of the things that made him do it. And it also comes from like, it says this, there's a link between this crime and sensational literature, particularly A Clockwork Orange, and is established beyond reasonable doubt. And the press blamed the film for a rape in which the attackers sang Singin' in the Rain as Singin' in the Rape. So there was like some bad stuff that happened after this movie came out.
Oh man, that's not good.
No, and like
really not good.
People like it was like a lot of backlash. Like that's hard. That's crazy. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think the movie shouldn't have been made though. But still.
No, I mean the way people react to movies is I don't know. It's probably their own insanity. Like I mean, definitely. People get inspiration to rape and kill from multiple things, from other rapers and murderers, and from other like works of literature and art. Like it doesn't matter. If you're crazy, you're crazy.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Do we want to read the plot keywords?
Okay. For this movie? Let's do it.
Okay. So we've got here, gang, sexual assault, female full frontal nudity, dystopia, forced to watch rape.
That's it. That's all of the movie.
Basically. But there's also 381 other ones to choose one. Choose from. There we go. Choose
yeah,
from.
There's a lot of naked women in this movie. Like, a lot.
I thought it was messed up how his friends were police when he got out of jail and they they like almost killed him.
That was just, you know, everything in this movie was just, it started off so violent and it just kept that tone the whole time. So it's not like you don't expect it to continue because that's the like world that they live in, you know?
Yeah.
And it sucks, but then it also is like bringing light to the issues that still like happen today. Where women are treated as complete objects and that's it. And, you know, that's like Kubrick getting right to the point about it, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting that the way to fix these people from having these violent thoughts and violent actions is to make them, I mean, well, it seemed like people had different responses to the therapy. It was like he got like nauseous or like physically sick.
I think as they gave him a shot of something and that made him sick while he was watching those things.
Yeah, so that he would kind of feel those same feelings when that stuff happened again, like later on, like when they were doing the performance or, you know, the whatever, the expose or something of their experiments in front of all the people.
And we had all those shots from below, because, you know, Kubrick likes to shoot people from below, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like in The Shining?
Yeah. Man, now I kind of want to watch The Shining again. It's been...
love that movie!
I was terrified of The Shining. I never liked watching it, because it was so scary.
I saw it in the theaters, like, a few years ago, and it was awesome.
Ugh. I would never do that. I'd watch it in the morning, in full daylight.
Oh, it's not that scary, dude.
I don't like scary movies.
It's not that scary.
It's scary. The music is scary. Okay. Stanley Kubrick was always good with the scary music, with the scary sounds.
Okay.
So yeah, it's scary. It's the epitome of fear. But let's see. What other good, for the milk bar, there was a trivia where they had to keep, like, refilling the machines with milk because it would go bad under the set lights every couple of hours.
Gross!
Yeah, isn't that disgusting?
No!
Oh my, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Okay, I hadn't read these goofs. I was reading a lot of the trivia, but I was trying to read some of the goofs.
I don't really think goofs are appropriate in because of the fact that, like, it's a film. We know it's a film. There's going to be inconsistencies. There's going to be situations where things aren't lining up, and that's in every single movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even new ones coming out, there's always inconsistencies that people find, and it really does. What I like to look for is, like, the really cool trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I hadn't gotten very far, but I think I pretty much said all the ones that were. Oh yeah, this guy, poor Malcolm, man. I felt bad that he said yes to doing this movie just because he had to do a lot of the stuff himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He got hurt. What was it? During the film, Malcolm McDowell scratched one of his corneas and was temporarily blinded.
Oh, no.
And he suffered cracked ribs during the filming of the humiliation stage show.
Oh, no.
A cracked rib and a scratched cornea.
I hope no women were hurt during this movie, because honestly, that would be the worst.
Oh my gosh.
Because they were thrown about so much. Like,
I just feel like agreeing to be in movies back during this time, you just were not as safe as you are now. Like,
that is 100% true. People would
so
die.
Not safe.
You're not, no. Like, being an actress was dangerous, okay? Like, you know, not to mention, like, an actress in this time, like, what kind of, these actresses were bearing their whole entire body in a time where that's not, like, people didn't do that, you know? Like, it just started to be okay for people to, like, be okay in their bodies, but, like, still in America, like, we're so conservative here, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it's really shocking, and I can't imagine that, like, any average person going to see this movie would come away with it without being like, oh, that was so much, if not just walking out midway through the movie, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I could definitely see people walking out midway just because of just how violent and shocking it was.
Yeah. It's still, like, an excellent movie, though. Like, it's very good.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I don't personally know if I'd watch it again, but I am glad that I took the time to sit down and watch it, because it was...
Yeah, yeah.
It was an experience, for sure.
Well, you know, thankfully, our next ABC movie is something a little more lighthearted.
Yeah.
A little bit better. And it's going to be Babe.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to watch Babe.
I know. I'm so excited to watch Babe. I haven't watched it since I was a kid.
So, oh my gosh.
So I'm really excited to dig a little deeper into Babe.
I wonder how it's held up. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't know. Oh my gosh. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be real fun. Oink,
oink. If you like A Clockwork Orange and are crazy about it and have some thoughts about it that you'd like to share, you can leave us a comment on SoundCloud or on Facebook. Just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and you could like our page on Facebook. If you like this episode, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. And we'd love to see what you guys think of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need notifications of new episodes coming out, you can follow our various social media. We've got Twitter at By The Popcorn, Instagram, All By The Popcorn Podcast, and Facebook again. So, talk to you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.